There you go.
Are we good to go now?
Yep.
Okay. All right. So, first of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. It's a privilege to come and see you folks and to show you or to tell you about Germany. As your pastor said, my name is Scott Poling and my wife, Chris. And we have four daughters. And as your pastor said, our last daughter to be married will be married here in a couple weeks. And then we go back to Germany. And as you know, with all the other COVID-related incidents around the world, Germany kind of leads the world. We have a lot of restrictions. We have a lot of items that we have to do, even just to go shopping for food. And so we've been in a strict lockdown now for the second time since December. And Chancellor Merkel extended it until the end of May this time. So we'll see what happens when that date comes and if they extend it even further, which means we cannot go shopping except for food or to the pharmacy. If we do go to a barber shop or a hair salon, we have to have a COVID negative test the day of going, and we have to show it to them. And so it's kind of a bothersome item. And everywhere we go, we have to wear a mask, the FFP2 mask, the medical mask. We have to wear that everywhere we go. We are still allowed to meet in church, though. We have a small work in the northeast part of the city, in the district called Pankow. And if I had more time, I would tell you the story how we received that building. But the government has said we are allowed to have up to 10 people. So this group here would be violating the law in Germany. But we're allowed to have up to 10 people. We have to be social distance, which means, you know, the 6 feet between. So every other chair, we have a person sitting in. We would have to wear a mask, and we are not allowed to sing. So we can't have fellowship afterwards either. So that's the kind of things that we're dealing with. It's very difficult to go on the street to talk to people as well or to hand out literature. We're only allowed to have one other person meet with us as a family, and that's still you have to have 6 feet distance. So it's very difficult to hand things out, and people are just not taking items from people on the street because of the COVID. And so we've been a little bit on slowdown, but I've used the time because we have to stay in our apartment. If you don't have to go out, they want you to stay inside. And a lot of people are working from inside, from their own homes. And so I've used the time to translate Bible studies. I wrote a Bible study called The Fruit and translated that into German. We've translated tracts into German. And so when we are allowed to go into or on the streets and to hand out things, we have the information all ready to go. Amen. And so we're just waiting for the word to go on the street. The Lord put into my hands, just, I don't know, 4 blocks from where we live, a printer. And he is allowing me to print. We still pay for it, but not an exorbitant amount of money. And he prints all my information for me and gives me some discounts and good paper, and I'm able to put all this stuff together pretty cheaply. We also want to use the Deutsche Post, the mail there, but Deutsche makes it very difficult. So this printer that I have, he knows of a private mailer. And we go through him, and we just give him the zip code that we want to go into the city, and he will mail them for us. The printer will print them. He brings them to this deliverer, and he will mail them for us. And we did that for an invitation, and he charges us 7 cents for a letter, which in over there, a normal letter is 80 cents. So he charges us 7 cents. So we're very thankful for that.
Yes, sir.
Now, why Germany? Why did we go over to Germany? Well, my father was in the Air Force, and we lived in England when I was growing up. So I didn't know a whole lot about American culture. I knew a lot about European culture. And then after I graduated high school, I went to three different high schools as my dad moved all over the place. I went into the Air Force. And my first duty assignment was Berlin, Germany. And this is 1986. So the wall was still up. We still had East Berlin and West Berlin. I don't know if you know the geography of Germany. I'm going to have my wife show you here in a few minutes a small picture. I hope you can see it. I should have printed it out earlier. But Berlin is deep into old East Germany. When the war ended, World War II ended, the Soviets had the eastern part of the country, and the Americans had the southern part, the British in the central, and the French in the north. And so they did the same thing with the capital. They split up the capital. Well, the Allies put the pieces together and came up with West Berlin. The Soviets never left, and they kept it with East Berlin. And then, of course, in 1961, they started building the wall. And the wall was built to keep Western people from coming into East because the East was so much better than the West. At least that's what the Soviets tell you. Okay? But, of course, it was the opposite. People were just hemorrhaging over to the West, and the Soviets wanted to stop it. And so they built this this wall up. And, of course, President Kennedy came over in 1961 and gave his speech. "Ich bin ein Berliner." I am a Berliner. And the people loved John F. Kennedy because he came over, and the United States people gave a bell that represents the Liberty Bell that we have in Philadelphia. They gave the people of Berlin a bell, and it's still there in the Rathaus Schöneberg, where it was the head of the West Berlin. It's still there today. And so I had my first duty assignment there. I was an air traffic controller, and I worked the air corridors that were used during the Berlin airlift. They still had those air corridors, and we can only go up to 10,000 feet bringing in aircraft. And so I was working there. My first aircraft that I worked by myself after being trained was Air Force One with President Ronald Reagan coming into the city. That was my first aircraft.
Wow.
And then I brought him in, got to shake the president's hand. He came up to the RAPCON, shaked his hand. And then my boss told me to take the rest of the day off. So I went down to the Brandenburg Gate, which you'll see on our prayer card. The Brandenburg Gate was where President Reagan gave his speech. "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." I was in the crowd when he gave that speech. And so the Germans, especially the West Germans, love President Reagan. You go to the subway station where it's underneath the Brandenburg Gate, you'll see his words on the wall, "Tear down this wall." It's still up there. And so these little insights help me to speak to Germans, because I was there during the time of separation between the East and the West. I was working the night when the wall came down. November the 9th, 1989, I was working. It was about 10 o'clock at night. And all of a sudden, I had a lot of Army helicopters on my scope, on my radar scope. And this is very unusual for this time of night, because they didn't fly usually at night, because they usually go in daytime. And I asked one of them, said, "What is going on? Why are you guys flying?" And he came back and says, "There's an awful lot of people around the wall, and we don't know what's going on." For the Army, they're thinking that maybe there's going to be an invasion coming into West Berlin, so they were preparing for that. And then a couple of minutes later, he came back on the radio, and he said that they just opened the wall up, and East Germans were going into West Berlin. And so I was working that night. I got off about an hour later, and it usually takes me about an hour, maybe an hour and 15 minutes to get home for where I worked at the base. That night took me over 3 hours, because so many people walk in the streets and the U-Bahns, the subways, and the different trains. It took me over 3 hours to get home. So I didn't get home till like 3 o'clock in the morning. So, but it was an experience. Talking to the Germans, that's a big deal. And they'll listen to me because I lived through that time that they were going through. And then lastly, another reason why Germans like to listen to me, well, at least hear me. I grew up, of course, in Europe when I was a little guy. I spent the second grade through sixth grade in England. So I played nothing but soccer. I didn't play American football. I played soccer. So when I came back to the States, I was quite good at playing soccer because soccer was just getting started in the 1970s when I came back. And so I was able to get scholarships to play in college. I played when I went into the Air Force. I played for the Air Force. And then I'm also became a FIFA soccer referee when I couldn't play anymore and keep up with the faster guys. So I started refereeing and doing college games and high school games. Mm-hmm. To a German, that's important because really their god is soccer. But I can talk to them about strategy. I can talk to them about the different tactics that are going on during the game. And they look at me, he's like, you know what they're doing? I said, yeah, I know exactly what they're doing. And so they'll actually sit and talk with me about that. So that's a way to get in to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, while we're over there, Berlin is the biggest city in the EU now. Britain has left. London was the biggest city. But now Britain's by themselves. And so Berlin's the biggest. There's 4 million people there. It's a very international city. There's a lot of Turks there. There's one district in Neukölln that is predominantly Muslim. And so they need to hear the gospel just like everybody else does. And so but that area and Wedding up in the northwest is predominantly Muslim. But Berlin is known as the atheist capital of Europe. And why they're atheists, why Germans are atheistic, is during the latter part of the 1800s, you had men like Friedrich Nietzsche, Charles Darwin, Karl Marx, the psychologist, Freud, Sigmund Freud. All were writing papers, all were giving dissertations about what they believe. The Germans think they are very intelligent people, which they are. They're very hardworking, very intelligent. And they took all of that information and transposed that from God's word. And they just threw God's word out and kept this information as their basis for their education, for their society, for their political ideas. And so that is what they have been taught since 1880s, 1870s. And this is now their mainstay. So when we're talking about the Word of God to them, first of all, the younger generation hasn't really even seen a Bible. And secondly, they don't have time for the Bible. They would rather spend time, well, before COVID, to spend time in the pubs, in the bars, and because they drink alcohol a lot there in Germany. Water, of course, what we know is water. Beer to them is water. And so they have it at every meal, and even the kids drink beer over there. And so this is a very detriment to their society. We're trying to teach them about family, trying to teach them what God's word says about how they should be in a society. And so it's very difficult, indeed. We have the gays and lesbians have their headquarters in Berlin. And so once a month, before COVID, of course, but they're starting to do it now, they have demonstrations, they have parades. And so you just know that you try to hand out things at these different parades, they will spit at you, they will curse you, they will do all kinds of things towards you. But we're still trying to get the word of God out. That's the idea. And so that's what we want to do. And so going over there right now, it has been very difficult. I'd like to show this this map. I don't know how, if you know the map of Germany. You can put two Germanys in the state of Texas, okay? But if you can show me this, see this map here. This is about as big as, I hope you can see this. But you see red, blue, and black, okay? The black is where East Germany was. That's East Germany. The red down the south, that's where Munich, Stuttgart, and those big cities. And the blue up toward the north, you have a little gray area right here. That's where Hamburg is. That's a very big city. Okay? This is the breakdown of religion. I'm sorry. This is the breakdown of religion in Germany right now. The black, of course, means none. No effect of religion whatsoever in this area. Why is that? Because that came from communist Soviet Union. And of course, God was thrown out with the Soviets. The red is Catholic. That's where you predominantly have the Catholic influence. The blue is Lutheran, where they have predominant Lutheran influence. However, Lutheran is almost exactly Catholic. Okay? It's almost the same thing, just have a few minor differences. Okay? So this whole area is predominantly under Catholic. But they do not go to church. The only time they go to church is on Christmas and Easter. It's really the only two times they go. And they really don't like it over there as well because they have to pay a tax to the church. And this is the salary for the Lutheran and the priest, the Lutheran priest and the Catholic priest for their salary is that tax. And so they don't like that. And if you see here, the black, of course, no influence at all. And there's a little gray area here in Hamburg. Hamburg has 10% Muslims living there. And Berlin is right here on the coast with Poland. Okay, so we are way inside East Germany, where East Germany was. Let me give that back to my wife there. East Germany, there are, in that old area there, there are three other so-called Baptist churches there. There's one in Dresden, which is on the south with the border of Czech Republic. There's one in Leipzig, and there's one just outside of Berlin. However, they call themselves Baptists, but they are open communion. They are a universal church, so they're practicing Protestant is what they're practicing. So they're not really a true church according to the New Testament. That's what's in East Germany. In the West, there's all kinds of missionaries in the West, all kinds of them. But you can count on your hand, one hand, of a true New Testament church in West Germany. You can count on one hand. And you don't use all the fingers and thumb. That is what the religion, the gospel is like in Germany. It is desperate. It is desperate. And we need men over there to follow what the Word of God says and to have true New Testament churches started. Because what they're practicing is Protestant, and that's not going to, when they stand before the Lord, they're going to hear those words, "Depart from me, I never knew you." And that's a shame. Germans are very good people, hardworking people, but they're not getting the gospel as they should. And we need people to get over there and tell them the gospel. We're in a city of 4 million people, and there's other churches there, but there's no one preaching what the Word of God says, that like we're preaching over there. That's how desperate it is over there. And so if you'll just pray with us about that, I'm going to show you a passage here tonight and go through different areas of the Word of God here. But Germany is in desperate need of the gospel. And America's going that way as well. You go right out this door. This is a mission field.
Yes, sir.
And they need to hear the gospel as well. There's no doubt about that. But Germany is in desperate need. The political situation over there is not good. There's elections coming up in September. Merkel is stepping down. She's been there for 20 years as the chancellor. So she's stepping down. But because of the COVID and what's been practicing over there, her party has lost over 10% of the vote, which means the Green Party has picked up those votes and now are in starting to get control of the parliament, which means the Green Party will have one of their people as the next chancellor. And the Green Party is, you know, save the trees, save the paper and all that. That's this party, and they're going to put some restrictions on Germany like you've never heard before. but that's the political situation. The Chancellor Merkel needs to hear the gospel. And it's one of my goals is to give a track to Chancellor Merkel. That's what I believe the Lord wants me to do. So I'm trying to get to her as much as I can. But it's very difficult, especially during COVID. But we're trying to get out as much as the literature as we possibly can and to preach the Word of God as much as we can. This morning, I had a man. His name is Omid. Omid is not German, but he comes to our services very faithfully. He's an Iranian who escaped Iran to get away from the persecution there because he's a he has a testimony. He produces spiritual fruit. But he walked from Iran to Berlin. It took him 3 months. He left his family behind, though. So we're trying to help him to be able to get his family to come over to Germany. And so, but he's very faithful. This morning, I got up at 6 o'clock this morning, and I preached to him in German. Gave him the message because I don't want him to go by the wayside while we're over here. So we have WhatsApp, and we use that video. And so I preached to him on Sundays and on sometime during the week because he works at night. And so we just find a day he's off, and we have a Bible study during the week. That's all in German. And so the Lord's been using some great things over there. Has it been very quickly? No. To have numerous people come to Christ? No. It's very slow going. It's taken time. But how do you reach people is having relationships.
Yes.
When they see us, when they know us, when they know that we're helping the community, we're helping families, then they'll start coming and start listening. And so that's what we're trying to do is get out in the community and show ourselves. And we have good relationship with our neighbors. We have good relationship where the church building is. The church building is about 45-minute train ride from where we live. So it takes us a while to get to church. But we are so blessed. Our landlord that gave us the building that we're using right now, he comes to services every once in a while. Not faithfully, but he does come. And then right across the street, there's a man named Mike, and English name, American name, Mike. He is an American auto mechanic. So he actually has a shop across our street, has Camaros and SUVs from the United States there that he works on. He's the only one in the city, and he even flies the American flag. So when we come out of our church building, we look up, and then we see the American flag right there. He has not come yet. He's from California, and we're trying to get him to come to church as well. So just pray for Mike that he'll come to the service one time. When we get back, we're going to have a barbecue. Germans love food, and so we're going to have a barbecue and an invite to have people come to the church services. But that's when we get back here in a month or two. So that is what's going on in Germany right now. We love the Germans. We love the people there. It's just a blessing that the Lord allows us to be there. He has opened so many doors, and I'll give you one, and I'll give a few minutes for questions. But we need a new visa last January, and visas are not easy to get. Right now, even the offices, the government offices, because of COVID, once again, they're not in the offices. You have to do everything online. Well, I couldn't get an appointment to go to the visa office to get our visa. It wasn't running, or they were showing no appointments. And so we went through an immigration lawyer. I won't do that all the time, but I needed to get in this time because our visa was coming up. And excuse me, and she noticed that I was not paying taxes in Germany. I says, I don't need to pay taxes in Germany because all my money comes from the United States. I pay taxes in the United States. And she goes, well, I don't know if that's going to fly with the visa people. And I told her this. I says, well, the Lord has brought us here to Germany. The Lord wants us here in Berlin. And if the Lord wants us to be here and the Lord wants us to stay here, he will provide the visa. That's what I told her. And she goes, okay, then I'll write that down. And she wrote that down. And I also told her, it says, if Germany was smart, and I told her, don't write that down. But if she's smart, I bring in thousands of euros every month into this economy, and I take nothing out of their economy. I'm adding to their economy. I'm helping socially by showing families what the Bible says, how a father, mother, husband, wife, a unit should act. So socially, I'm helping. So Germany would be foolish to not let us stay here. Well, we got our answer, about a week before our deadline was up, and said that you had been approved, and we had a four-year visa.
Yeah. Amen.
That's God.
Oh, yeah.
That's not me. That's not my wife. Okay? That's God. God wants something to get done in Germany. He wants people to come to Him. And so we have a lot of work to do. Our goal is, there's 12 districts in the city of Berlin. We want to see a New Testament church in each one of those districts. That's what our goal is. And so we want to see Germans come. We want to see a German man get saved, called to preach. We train him, have him take over that church, and then we move to another district. That's the goal. Still keeping in contact with his church, but working in another area. And so we want to see that happen. It doesn't happen very quickly, though. It's very, very slow. And so we're just praying. We know the Lord wants us there. We know the Lord's going to have things accomplished. We're just on for the ride. So we're thankful for that. Before we get into God's word here tonight, does anyone have any questions about Berlin or Germany itself? Now, I know I taught in the Christian school, so I was a teacher. I know I didn't cover everything. Okay, well then, what I'd like you to do is I want to use a passage that spoke to me about 3, 4, 5 years ago. Okay, it's in 1 Kings chapter 22. 1 Kings chapter 22. And when you get there, I want you to look at, let's go to... Oh, let's see here. Let's go to verse 48, okay? And when you have that, if you're able to, would you please stand with me as we read God's word here? 1 Kings chapter 22, and look here in verse 48. And it says, Jehoshaphat made ships of Tarshish to go to Ophir for gold, but they went not, for the ships were broken at Ezion Geber. So here I just want you to see here that this is a picture of people. This is a picture of people. And so let's pray, and then we'll have you seated, and we'll look at this real quick here tonight. Father, we thank you for the opportunity to present your field, and we thank you for the opportunity to be here witnessing and showing your word to these good folks here tonight. We ask that you will be here in power, that your Holy Spirit will have freedom to accomplish what he needs to here tonight, and that, Father, that you would bind Satan's hands so he would not be able to disrupt your services here this evening. Thank you, any Father, again, for your word, the truth of your word, and how you want us, any Father, to be more in the image of your Son, Jesus Christ. For we ask these things in your Son's name. Amen. All right, thank you. You may be seated. I want to show you something here about this passage. It says here, Jehoshaphat made ships that were supposed to go somewhere, to go to Ophir, and they had a job to do. That job was to bring gold back. I want you to see this picture of this is what being in church is like. Okay? Ships had a job to do. Ships were to be built, to go on the ocean, to go across the ocean to bring goods there and to bring goods back. That is their purpose. They're not supposed to be built and just sit and are in the harbor. That's not their job. If that's what their job was, then why even build them? Well, let's put that in perspective with us. What is our job? What is our job while we're here on this earth. Our job is to have the same mission call that the Lord Jesus Christ had in Luke chapter 11. What was that mission? He was sent here to go to seek the lost. That should be our mission as well. And so we are a picture of ships. We were built not to sit in the harbor, not to sit in the church pews or the church chairs and to take in all of this good teaching and preaching from God's word, which we need to have in our lives. But our mission is to go out and tell others about this great gospel in German, Evangelium. Okay, that's what our mission is. We're to go into the oceans. We're to go outside this door and to tell others about Christ. That is to bring in the gold. But here we see that these ships were broken at Ezion Geber, which means they didn't go. They sat at the harbor and they rotted. If you don't use something, how many of you like to work on old cars? Okay, I had a 1965 Ford Mustang. And in the wintertime in North Dakota, because I spent most of my life in North Dakota, I did not drive my car in North Dakota because it's snowy and cold. And I didn't want anybody else to slide into me and hit my car. So I left it for the summertime. And then I would pull it out maybe once or twice in the summer. But I would have to spend a week or two fixing all of the leaks, all of the squeaky sounds, because it wasn't used during the year. It was just sitting there. And so it took me longer to fix the things than to go out and actually drive it. Well, it's the same with us as Christians. We are not just to sit here in the church. We are to go out and tell others and to bring them in and then to start other churches to do the same thing. That is our goal. That is our mission here on this earth. Now, a lot of people will say, I don't know if I can do that. What did Moses tell God? I can't speak. But what did Moses, how did God use Moses? He brought out millions of Israelites from Egypt into the toward the promised land. He wasn't allowed to go in there, but he brought them to the promised land. And I'm going to show you a passage here in a second. That what we think is impossible, nothing is impossible with God.
Right.
Nothing. Mm-hmm. Okay? How am I going to reach Germans? I don't know the language very well. Doesn't matter. God can reach Germans. Yeah. And God wants to use me to reach Germans. I just have to do what God wants me to do.
Yeah.
If I do what I can do, God will do what he needs to do.
Right. Exactly.
And we'll show you that here in a second. Yeah. But we need to be on the ocean, not sitting in the harbors. Let me give you a good example. Turn over to Mark chapter 2. Mark chapter 2. I know you know this story, but here we have Jesus Christ in Capernaum, and he's at a house, and the house is full, okay, because they want to hear him teach and preach. And inside the house, there are Pharisees there, okay, and I believe this house is Peter's house. Okay, this is what I believe. I can't say it. I'm not adding to the Word of God. I'm just giving you my opinion, okay? But I believe this is Peter's house. And here in Mark chapter 2, let's look here in verse 1, starting in verse 1. And it says, and again he entered, speaking of Jesus Christ, into Capernaum after some days, and there was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Now look at these next two verses. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. Now, I want you to see, remember, we're like ships, and we're not to sit in the harbor. We're to go out and to tell others about Christ. But that's difficult, isn't it? Even here in Missouri, that's difficult to do. It's very difficult in Germany. But we still are commanded to do it. Here we see four men. They hear that Jesus Christ is in the house in Capernaum. They say, we have an opportunity here to bring our friend who cannot do anything. He's sick of the palsy. He's on a stretcher. He can't do anything. He can't even brush his teeth. Can't put on socks. He needs somebody to do all these tasks for him. And so these four guys are saying, we have an opportunity here to bring him to Christ. That should be our attitude. Okay, our neighbors, our family, our co-workers. We have an opportunity to bring him to Christ. Let's take that opportunity. Let's grab a hold of that and bring him to Christ. And I'll show you here something that we need to be thinking of every day when we have that going across our hearts and our minds. But we see here, these four guys carry this man a long ways. They were not next door neighbors to this house in Capernaum. They went a distance. Can you imagine the time that it took? Can you imagine the effort that it took to carry this man to Christ? This was not an easy task. Okay, it strained the muscles a little bit. It took some time, like I said. That's what we need to do. When we go out and tell others about Christ, it's going to take time. It's going to take some effort on our part. Because they're not going to come flooding into the building to hear the Word of God. We have to go out and tell them about the Word of God. So it's going to take some effort on our part. Just like these four men bringing this man sick of the palsy to Christ. But notice something here. When they get to the building and they tried to get in through the door, they couldn't because so many people were standing in the door so they can hear Christ, which is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. That's great. So they said, okay, let's go to the windows. Again, too many people were by the window because they wanted to hear Christ. You notice that the Bible does not say that these four guys, these men who brought them one sick of the palsy, well, we tried. We tried to bring you to Christ, and we just couldn't get in. So be warmed and filled and have a great life and walk away. That's not what they did.
No.
They had to think of an other way to do it.
Yes, sir.
Okay? Knocking on doors might not be the way to do it now. They might slam the door in your face. There's other ways to do it.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We have to see, not going against God's word, we have to follow God's word and God's precepts and principles. But there are other ways that we can get the word of God to other people.
Yes, sir.
And we have to be willing to think outside the box.
Yes.
So many times churches are just doing what they've done for 50 years or 60 years.
Right.
And it's not working.
That's right. Yes, sir, brother.
And they're not willing to go outside to find other means. We need to do that. We need to go out and to bring the people to Christ no matter what it does to us. But I also want you to notice this. They said that they broke open the roof. Now, this wasn't easy as well. I don't know if you know the houses in the Middle Eastern time, but they were flat because they went up there during the evening time to cool off. But they were slats, and then they had earth. And even plants were growing up there. It was thick. It was like concrete. And they were breaking this open so this man can come see Christ. Now, remember I told you, the Pharisees are in this room as well. They're listening to Christ. And all of a sudden, can you imagine dirt falling and hitting in their heads, falling at their feet, and they're looking at like, what's going on here? Christ knew. Christ knew exactly what was going on. But these Pharisees are like, do you see this? You see what's going on here? And all of a sudden the roof opens up. And this man comes down right in front of Christ. They went by the door, by the window. They went through the roof and brought him in. Okay? Let me ask you this question. These guys who broke open the roof to bring their friend down to Christ, was this their house?
No.
No. This wasn't their house. Who's going to take care of the roof? These guys had integrity. They wanted their friend to come to Christ. They were willing to do anything to bring him to Christ. I can imagine. Now, once again, I'm not adding to the Word of God, because that's you don't want to do that, okay? But I can imagine in my mind, in my heart, these men that were willing to bring this man to Christ were willing to do anything. So they fixed that roof, more than likely. It cost them something. You know, they had to replace the materials. They had to use their time. And it's going to cost us something to bring others to Christ. It's going to cost us time. It's going to cost us money. But what does the Bible say? If one comes to Christ, it's worth it all. It doesn't matter what it costs. Because when it, and Luke, what's it say? When one comes to salvation, the angels are rejoicing. Yeah. It's worth the money and the time. It's worth it all. And these men said, we need to bring him down here. But notice what Christ does. Look in the next verse here, in verse 5. When Jesus saw their faith, faith moves mountains. Faith moves the heart of God. And they saw when Jesus saw the faith of these men, can you imagine the joy he had in his heart? That's what God wants to see with us, that we have great faith. Can we reach Berlin for Christ? I can't. God can. And I have to believe God will. That's faith. I can't see it. I can't touch it, but I know God will do it. That's faith. And so we see here, when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee. Oh, hold the phone here. Is that why these men brought this guy? So that his sins would be forgiven? Well, I think at first, yeah, they wanted him to be healed. But when they brought him and they heard what Jesus Christ was speaking about, he said, this man has a greater need. That's salvation. That's what we need to have when we leave these doors and go into the mission field. The people out there have a greater need than physical ailments. That's salvation.
Yes, sir.
For all of eternity with Christ. Our goal should be out there, said, I want you to have a relationship with God. You might not be able to walk. You might not be able to talk or to hear. You have some kind of physical ailment. But Christ has something even greater. That's eternity with him in heaven. Now later on, Christ does heal him. Tells him to pick up his bed and walk. Okay? So he got best of both worlds. But his first need was salvation. Our goal, we have to remember, is that we need to go out there to tell them about Christ and their need of forgiveness of sins. That is our goal. Remember, Christ went out to reach the lost. And we're supposed to be Christ-like. Okay? But you're probably still saying, well, this is still a very difficult thing to do. It is. It's not easy. But now I want you to turn to the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Here we see in this book here that Herod has put Peter in jail because it pleased the Pharisees. Okay? And we finally get rid of the Pharisees are thinking, we're finally going to get rid of this guy named Peter, the religious leader who made us look bad back in Acts chapter 4, okay, in Acts chapter 3. He made us look bad in front of the people. We're finally going to get rid of him. But he could not kill him because it was before the Passover, so he was waiting. So Peter's in jail. And I want you to look at this passage here, okay? Let's start here with verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now there's a whole other message right there, that the church was praying for him all night long. Okay, but that's a whole other message. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. Okay, now you guys know the story. Okay, you know the story with Peter in prison. He's sleeping. He has a death sentence. He's going to be beheaded. And he's sleeping. Why? Because he knew that God was not finished with him yet. He knew that God still wanted to use him. How was he going to get out of this? He had no idea. No idea whatsoever. But he did know God wanted to use him. We need to have that same understanding in our lives. God wants to use us. He wants to use us in the areas that we are living and working. And we cannot just sit idly by like those ships did back in 1 Kings. We need to be moving on the oceans. Okay? But I want you to notice something. Remember, I told you, but that's awfully difficult to bring others to Christ. Well, it is hard. Okay? However, if you have this mindset, it will change your thinking. Okay? Let me show you what I mean. So, he's bound. He's sleeping and he's bound by two soldiers. He's chained here. He's chained here with these two soldiers. Peter must be a very dangerous man. He has two soldiers. And Roman soldiers were no puny people. They were big men. Okay? And they're in where Herod is. This is not there's peace during this time, but there's unrest at the same time. This is not a very easy place to be stationed at. Okay? German soldiers, I almost said. Roman soldiers here are being killed. Look at Barabbas. Okay? Roman soldiers are being killed here. So this is not an easy assignment. And so he's strapped by these two guys. And he's sleeping. And then what happens here in verse 7? And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly," and the chains fell off from his hands. Now, you're asking, or I asked you, that it's difficult at times to bring the word of God to people. And it is. I'm not denying that. Peter was in a very difficult place, chained, ready to be beheaded. The angel comes in. The angel is still willing to speak to us by the Holy Spirit speaking to our heart through God's word. He's speaking to us and what we need to do. Now, what did Peter do? The angel kicked him, first of all, to get him up. Okay? Peter, get up. Okay? Now, he's chained, right? But does he have all his arms and legs? He's not a quadriplegic. He has his arms and legs. The angel said, "Stand up." Could Peter physically stand up? He could. He is physically able to get up. The angel told him to stand up. He stood up. He obeyed what the angel told him to do. What happened next? Chains fell off.
Yes, sir.
Could Peter take those chains off?
No.
He could not move those chains. Peter did what he could do. God did what he could do. That is the secret of witnessing to other people. You go do what you can do. You can knock on doors. You can hand out tracts. You can talk to people on the phone. You can email people. There's so many ways that we can get the word of God out. But we cannot save them. Only God can. Only God can do that. But let's do what we can and let God do what he does. Okay, let's keep reading. This is so exciting here, okay? I love this passage. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself." Okay, he said, "Hey, put your robe on." Was he able to do that? Of course he was. "And bind on thy sandals." Peter, put your shoes on. He could do that. He was physically able to latch on his sandals. Matter of fact, what's the next phrase here in the Bible say? And so he did. He did what the angel told him to do. Okay? "And he saith unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me." Can I put on my coat? Could Peter put on his coat? Yes. Could he follow him? He could now because the chains are off. He could follow him. These are things that were possible. These are things that Peter could do. These are things that Peter did because he was obeying the word of God. Okay? Now let's see what happens. And he went out and followed him and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and second ward, hello, how did you get through the gates? Peter doesn't have a key. Peter didn't have a way to open those gates. Only God could do that. And when God did that, Peter pushed those gates open and walked through, because he could do that. They came unto an iron gate that leadeth unto the city, the main gate of the prison here, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. You see what's going on here. Peter did what he was told to do by the angel. And you notice he didn't sit here and argue with the angel. He didn't say, well, can you come back in an hour? I'm still trying to sleep here. You know, they're going to serve the meal here pretty soon. I'd really like to get something to eat. You don't see that in the Word of God. When the angel said, do this, he did it immediately. There was no hesitation. None. And when he did it immediately, when he did the possible, God did the impossible. When we do what God tells us to do, and we do it immediately, you will see the impossible done. Why do I know that? Because God is no respecter of persons. If God did it for Peter, he'll do it for me, and he'll do it for you. But we have to follow the same steps that Peter took. We have to immediately obey. When God says, go over there and talk to that person, go over there. Well, I'm eating lunch. Go over there. Because you might not have ever another chance to speak to that person. This could be, your pastor even mentioned it, the divine appointment. That could be the moment in time for that person. You need to do it immediately. And when you do it, you'll see the impossible accomplished. That's what's so great about the God's Word. And how He uses people like you and me to get His work done. We don't have to be those ships sitting in the harbor rotting. We can be on the ocean accomplishing what we are supposed to do while living on this earth. Let's do that. Let's not have our ships broken. Let's bring in the gold. Let's bring people to Christ. Let's have faith like those four men did with the paraplegic man, the man with the sick of the palsy. Let's have their faith. Let's have the obedience, the immediate obedience of Peter. And let God accomplish what God wants to do. It is God's goal, 2 Peter chapter 3, that all come to repentance. That's His goal. That's His will. But He wants to use us to accomplish that. Let Him use you and me to do that. Let's let that happen. And you will see great and mighty things happening, not only in your life, but in the life of that lost person. And you'll see a life change from darkness to light. That's worth it all. Pastor.